Now, it's not about to displace the cow as the go-to image people have when they think of the most iconic Vermont animal, but sheep have a deep and rich history of their own in the Green Mountain State. And half a world away, the legacy of Vermont sheep has quite a bit of importance as well, specifically Merino sheep. They were exported to Australia in the 1800s for reasons we'll discover in a moment as we speak with Rebecca Woods, who's delivering the keynote address at the annual Vermont Historical Society meeting this weekend. Rebecca Woods is a Vermont native who grew up in Montpelier and is now a lecturer in history at Columbia University, specializing in environmental history and the history of science. She's joining us on the line from New York City today. And Rebecca Woods, thank you so much for being with us on Vermont Edition.
Thank you for having me.
First, what is special about Merino sheep? Where did they come from originally?
Well, they originally come from Spain, and what makes them special is the fineness of their wool. They grow the finest wool of any breed of sheep. I believe only cashmere, which are goats, grow a finer fiber that can be used for clothing. So this is why they traveled so far and wide in the 19th century.
And why were they an important animal in 19th century Vermont?
It's really interesting. So prior to 1801, there were no Merino sheep whatsoever in any American states. And during the Napoleonic Wars around 1810, 1811, American diplomats started exporting large numbers of sheep. There was kind of like a Merino bubble around this time, and everybody wanted to invest in them as a way to establish American manufacturing that could compete with and kind of break the nation's dependence on Britain for manufactured wool goods. They become important in Vermont because Merino sheep are a little bit unusual relative to other breeds of sheep in that they like places that are really, really hot or quite cold. And so they did very well in the hilly, cold mountainsides of Vermont.
Now, what about Australia? How did that connection get established there?
Yeah, so Australia imported Merino sheep right around the same time as Vermont in the late 1790s. Captain MacArthur, who was one of the kind of founders of the colony of New South Wales, picked up some Merino sheep in South Africa, in fact, on his way to Australia. Australia has an even more kind of extreme climate than Vermont does. It's almost the whole continent, it's an island continent, is hot and dry, and very few European transplants, plants or animals thrived in Australia, with the exception of Merinos at the time. So they became wildly popular there as well. And by the 1870s, when the Vermont type of Merino goes to Australia, there's already a massive and really lucrative Merino production system in place in Australia.
So these Merino sheep, you say, around the 1870s, were sent directly to Vermont, from Vermont to Australia, is that right?
Well, they were sent, yeah, I think they were sent by way of San Francisco, actually, because the Vermont Sheep Merino Sheep Breeders Association. It's been a little bit hard to kind of track down exact information about this pair. I came across them in some newspaper articles from New South Wales, from Sydney, around 1879. They spent a couple months in quarantine, which suggests that they traveled overland by rail from Middlebury, from Addison County, to San Francisco, and then from there by ship, obviously, to Sydney. Australia actually had a very strict rule against importing foreign animals because of something called scab, which is like a skin disorder that sheep get. But they broke it for this particular pair and allowed them to be exhibited at the big colonial agricultural fair.
And that turns out to be a case of be careful what you wish for, because apparently these Merinos brought some real problems with them once they got to Australia.
Well, they were very different than Australian Merinos. Australian Merinos, they were called smooth-bodied, so their skin fit relatively tightly over their skeleton, whereas Vermont Merinos, what was distinctive about them was that they were incredibly wrinkly, so they were like kind of had folds of skin from head to toe. And once Australian breeders started breeding this American type, the Vermont type, to their smooth-bodied Merinos, it became difficult to later on remove that trait. So there was a fashion in Australia for wrinkly sheep from about 1880 until 1906. And then suddenly in 1906, breeders decided they wanted, there was the pendulum swung back to plain-bodied merinos. But by then, yeah, from the perspective of some Australian breeders, by then the damage was done.
Were there other physical attributes to the merino sheep from Vermont that were problematic as well?
Well, their wool was, they grew much, much more wool. It's a heavier wool with more lanolin in it, what they called oil or yolk, depending on who was riding. And they had more of that than Australian sheep. The Australian type of merino tended to be a little bit drier in the wool, but more fine. So Vermont merinos were slightly heavier, coarser kind of wool. Again, this was something that Australian breeders debated the merit of. You know, you could get more wool on an animal. I mean, you could sort of, it was a question of quantity over quality with the Vermont versus the Australian kind of wool.
And apparently there were some other problems that went beyond the physical. I mean, it seems that some Australians were resentful in a way of this invading species, if you will. I mean, because they were not native to Australia.
Yeah, they were. There was kind of heated, what I think was a heated discussion in one of the meetings of the New South Wales Agricultural Society, who was the recipient of this gift from the Vermont counterpart. There, you know, the newspapers at the time tend to be relatively circumspect, but they did say that there was a conversational discussion in which some breeders some Australians referred to the Vermonts as a white elephant and so much trash. Later on, others sort of, there's a well-known agricultural reporter for a different paper who chastised these fellows for basically looking a gift sheep in the mouth and said, what a way to repay Vermont's kindness. So there was also a lot of talk about trying to send a return gift to Vermont. But basically, it was a kind of a controversial import for sure.
Well, as I said in the intro, the dairy cow is really the animal we think of today when we think of Vermont species. But Australians apparently have a longer memory when it comes to the merino sheep. I mean, do they still talk about this to this day?
I'm sorry, does who still talk about
it? The Australians.
The Australians. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, because they're the merino remained and still is in many places central to parts of the Australian economy in a way that it's not anymore in Vermont. So yeah, so it functions kind of, the merino sheep functions more like the dairy cow in Australia than it does in Vermont. I think that the dairy has always been dominant in Vermont, so the merino would have had a kind of pretty tough uphill battle to displace it in the 19th century, but it did rival it for a time.
Amazing. Great history there, and you'll be talking about this at the Vermont Historical Society. Rebecca Woods is a lecturer in history at Columbia University who specializes in environmental history and the history of science. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.